All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, in a little while, we're going to come to the Lord's table, and there are several names that we use to describe this ordinance that Jesus gave to the church. Obviously, sacrament is not one that we would use. A sacrament means that this is something by which you achieve grace, and that grace, if you get enough of it stored up, then will earn your way into heaven. And the Lord's table is not a sacrament. It's not a means of achieving salvation. Obviously, it's because salvation has already been acquired through the reception of God's gift. But I always wondered about, I understand the Lord's table. I always wondered about communion. Why do we use the word communion? And if you look communion up, the word has, in the English language, essentially has two meanings to it. One has the idea of fellowship. And this is an aspect that I don't normally mention when we come to the Lord's table. I usually focus on what it represents, the symbolic nature of the Lord's table. But it represents fellowship that we have as a church family. And above all things that we do in the church, the Lord's table is that which really brings out the fact that we are indeed a family of believers. Obviously, I'm going to be talking about communion today. And so keep in mind fellowship. The other aspect of this word is just simply having all things in common. Or not maybe all things, but having things in common. And that's what Ephesians 4 talks about. And so we're going to begin in verse number 1. Here God tells us, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And then he goes on to talk about the things we have in common. And I think the setting and the way God stated it here, from what he said previously about our attitude, what it ought to be, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, love. These are what our attitudes or our demeanor should be towards one another, so that we don't break the unity, the fellowship that we have. And then he lists these things we have in common. And I want to spend just a few moments looking at some of these things. And as I said, it'll be brief, but I do want to take some time here. He says there is one body. Now, this one body he's making reference to is the local church. As he writes this, Paul writes this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. It's talking about the church there at Ephesus. That's the one body. We obviously don't have communion or fellowship with every believer on the face of the earth, because there are some that believe things that are just way out there. And they may have been saved as a kid and children's ministry and a fundamental gospel preaching church, but are part of a church that doesn't even proclaim the gospel, proclaims another gospel. We don't have communion with them. Now we do in salvation. We'll spend eternity together, but the body he's talking about is the local church. And so for us, as we interpret this in our situation, it's talking about Covenant Baptist Church. There is only one church. And when it comes to what he's trying to get across here, this idea of unity, we're not going to, if things don't go the way we want them to go, at least this is the way it should be. And this is what God's trying to get across. If things don't go the way we think they should go, we're not going to leave in a huff and go join another church. Or as some did, start another church. I've mentioned in Tennessee, where our oldest daughter lives, if you go down a particular road, and I don't remember the name of the church, there's, we'll just call it Fellowship Baptist Church. It's not Fellowship, I know that, but I don't remember the name. But Fellowship Baptist Church, and you go down a half a block, and you've got New Fellowship Baptist Church. So somewhere along the line, they obviously had a split, and they went just down the road, just to rub it in, I guess. But those things happen, and God says that's not the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to endeavor to keep the unity of the body, because there is only one body. Then he goes on to say, not just one body, but one spirit. Now, this is important, especially in a business meeting. Now, what it does is it brings out our responsibility to be led of the Spirit, to let the Holy Spirit guide all things that we think and that we say. But we're not going to always agree. You always agree if you're married, you always agree with your spouse? Probably not. I find that very unlikely that you would. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's actually healthy to not always agree, because then you talk things out, and sometimes we may have a great idea that as we talk it out and think it over, that, you know, that really was a dumb idea. I don't know why I thought that was such a bright idea. Those things happen. And so it's healthy to have dialogue, and even more so here as we try to determine God's will. You see, that's what business meetings are, determining God's will for us as a church. And it's important for us to understand that you possess the same Holy Spirit I possess, and the person sitting next to you possesses the same Holy Spirit. And again, this emphasizes our obligation to be led of the Spirit and controlled by the Spirit in these settings. And so what they have to say is valid. And so don't try to shout anybody down and anything like that. Let them state their case, and let's have good, healthy dialogue. All right, then it talks about one hope. What is our one hope? Well, Jesus, yeah, but it's heaven ultimately, where we'll spend eternity with Jesus. And I think why God is putting that here in this scenario is to let us know we're going to spend eternity together. Now, the first church I pastored, they had some very active business meetings. We'll just put it that way, where they actually had fist fights. And not while I was there, but I heard about it after I got there. It's no wonder the church had a lot of problems. But can you imagine if you got upset with someone and it came to blows, literally, you had a fist fight over something, and then you go to heaven, and there's that person. How are you going to feel about them at that point? God just trying to let us know that the person sitting next to you, you're probably going to spend eternity with, because I believe all of us here in the room are probably saved tonight. And so let's act like we're going to spend eternity together. You know, do you want to have a big fight with someone in your family just before you leave on a long vacation? Probably not a very pleasant vacation if you do. And so we're going to have the most wonderful vacation the world could ever know. It's going to last for all eternity. So let's get along down here, so that we don't have any regrets when we get up there. One hope. Then in the next verse, he says we have one Lord. Now, this also is important in this setting, because who's the head of the church? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that in chapter 1, verse number 22. And so everything we do is to be yielded to his will. Sometimes, and this is a problem that churches have, is there's a problem that needs to be addressed, and I know exactly how to address the problem. But then someone sitting across the aisle knows exactly how to address it too, but because we're two different people, we have two different ways to do it. What God's trying to let us know is we need to yield to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head, not any one member of any local church. And so we're always to become yielded and submitted to him. Then he talks about one faith, salvation by faith alone, and one baptism, and that's believer's baptism. It hasn't been that long ago. It's been several weeks ago. Well, it's been even longer than that, probably about 5-6 weeks ago at least. Talked to someone who was considering baptism, and they were hoping we would accept their sprinkling into the Roman Catholic Church. We can't do that. And so if the situation ever comes up and it's someone you know and that you've befriended, and I have to tell them you can't become a church member until you're scripturally baptized, this is why. There's only one baptism, and that's believer's baptism as described in the Word of God. And so we can't accept a foreign baptism. We can't accept what's called pedo baptism. And the word pedo just means baby or infant. We just can't accept baptism that comes from another denomination, like the Church of Christ, that you get baptized in order to wash your sin away. We can't accept that. That's a strange, foreign, alien baptism. But if it's a church that believes salvation the way we do, we can accept that because there's only one baptism. And so we're tied together in baptism. And then in verse number 6, he has one last thing that we have in common, communion together, fellowship and things in common, and that's one God. And the one God is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah of the Old Testament. He's the object of our worship. Let's never forget that. And he's also the one that we serve. Let's never forget that either. And so that's important when we come to times where we discuss things and we don't have anything major on the agenda today that we might want to argue and fight around. You never know. They say that the biggest arguments in a marriage occur over finances, and that's going to be the majority of our business meetings. So that opportunity is always there to get in a fight. But just remember, we're not here to serve ourselves and our pleasure or our will. We're here to serve Almighty God. We're his children. We're his servants. We should be his bond slaves. And so that's what communion is in a nutshell. I believe God describes it in a little more detail here in Ephesians 4, and we could have taken a lot more time, but I didn't want to do that because we do have a business meeting. And so let's keep these in mind, and we'll, at this time, prepare our hearts and minds to come to the Lord and the Lord's table.